First John chapter 2 verses 15 through 17. This is the reading of God's word. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It clearly shows us our Lord Jesus Christ and our eternal reality, our heavenly reality that our Lord has already accomplished for us. Again, we pray that by your grace that we will be able to meet your Son Jesus Christ through your word so that we may have fellowship with him and that we will worship him. Oh, Father, work through your Spirit that your word will be preached correctly and that your word will be understood by your people, believed and obeyed to bring glory and honor to you. Oh, Father, we pray that as we hear your word, that our faith will grow and we will be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, and we pray that you will receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last time we finished the book of Revelation, and we talked about two worlds. And I thought that looking at these verses in 1 John will help us to remember what we have said last time. Verse 15, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Well, it is very, very clearly said. God calls us not to love the world, nor the things in the world. And we have already defined what the world is. When we say we don't love the world or we forsake the world, what do we mean by that, the world? Well, verse 16 tells us, for all that is in the world. So, whatever that is to follow is all that is in the world. And we see three things following: the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. So these three things include whatever that is in the world or whatever that is the world. And those three things are not from the Father, but is from the world. So when we say the world, what is the world, we mean this people or the world who lives their lives according to these three things. Whatever they do is because of these three things. Some people want to get a better job, but why? Because of lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life. This world only knows these three things. Everything that they do is according to these three things. You know, even drugs or pornography. It's all about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Why they want to be successful? Well, they want to boast. It's all about the boastful pride of life. They live for these things. This is all they know. That's the Bible's conclusion of how sinners are. The world is driven by these three things. And God is telling you to forsake that. That's the world. And these things, these three things are not coming from the Father, but is coming from the world. So when we say forsake the world, we are saying forsake this way of life. Forsake this purpose, this method. You know, how you live and why you live that way. If it is according to these three things, then you are participating in the world. It's not that hard to understand. You know, whatever that you do in your life, ask yourself, why are you doing that? What is your purpose? Why you want to get a better job? Why do you want to make more money? Why you want to be successful? What is the purpose and meaning? That's the issue. And it's because of the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes, and it's about how you want to be able to boast about what kind of college you went and what kind of job you have and how much money you make or what kind of houses you have and cars you have. It's all about showing off. Then you are living according to the world. Why do you want whatever you want? You know, all these commercials that you watch on TV is all about the lust of the eyes. It looks so good to your eyes. Temptation coming to you because of these things. You really need to ask yourself, you know, why and what is the purpose? Do you live according to these three things, lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life? Then you have to stop it because that's the world and you do not belong to the world anymore. But temptation is so great. Everybody around you, the world, lives this way. This is what drives them. And going against that is not that easy. Because even when you think that you are doing that for God, and you know, Christians are there so used to say these things. Oh, yeah, for the glory of God. If you sit down and really think about it, I don't think it's really 100% for the glory of God. That's the temptation. Whatever it is, it's not evil or bad in and of itself. Money is not necessarily bad. But the love of money is evil. You could make a lot of money and you could use all that money for God's glory. But even as you say to yourself and to many people around you, oh yeah, I'm making this all this money for the glory of God, but you're using that money for your own selfish pleasure and your, you know, lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes. So understand, we're not saying, you know, whatever out there is bad. No, actually, it all depends on how you use it and what is your purpose. So I will never say to you, you know, studying is world. No, study very hard. But you have to study for the glory of God. Getting a good job is good, but you have to do that because of your love for God, not because of your selfish ambition or this boastful pride of life. Because being friend to the world, you are being an enemy to God. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse 4. You adulteresses, do not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, how more clear you want God to state that? If you are living according to this, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, then you're living as an enemy of God. Because that is the world. Be friend to the world and you become enemy to God. And if you really don't care if you become enemy to God, then I don't know why you think you're Christian. And it is not okay living according to the world. Because, you know, the gospel that we preach is all about telling you and me that we are saved out of all that. That we have been saved out of the world. That we do not belong to the world anymore. But if you live as if you still belong to the world, then what is the message of the gospel? Then gospel is proven by you as a false. Because your life clearly tells the whole world gospel is a lie. Because I say I'm saved out of the world, but I still live like the world. This is the worst situation for Christians to be in. Your life is never neutral. Your life is either for glory of God or your life is the world. All that is in the world, there's three things: lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. This is the spirit of 666. Do you remember in Revelation 666? What is 666? Spirit of 666. It's six. Six is number of man, whereas seven is number of God. Six is number of man. It's one number before seven, which points to the Sabbath, which points to the eternal rest, which points to heavenly reality. So if you want to stay in six rather than going on to seven, you're saying that you like this world and you don't want heaven to come. That's what six is all about. I don't want to go to seven. I want to stay in six. And six is a number of man. So the spirit of 666 is all about man. It's about self. And it's about this world. But God's pattern that He gave us as we live our lives here is seven. Not only six, but we go to seventh day. Eternal rest. But the world will never have anything to do with heaven or eternal rest. It's all about right now, here and now. See, they don't care about how we're going to be when we die. They don't really care about our eternal life. They don't even believe any of that. But what is important to them is here and now. That's the spirit of 666. Yeah, even some people who go to church will say things like, who cares about heaven? That's later. What I'm concerned is here and now. Am I eating, good food, or am I driving a good car? See, that's what's important to me. That's exactly the world. Spirit of 666. We are called to forsake the world. But as you and I, we know that this forsaking the world is not that simple and that easy. And I'm here to tell you the God's method, God's way for you to forsake this world. Well, let us understand this then. All of sins that we commit are about these three things. I don't care what sin you committed, that sin is included in these three things. The lust of the flesh, or lust of the eyes, or the boastful pride of life. So all temptations come in these three things. And first, we need to understand this. And this was true even from the very beginning. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. When Adam and Eve sinned, Adam, before sin came in, he knew exactly what eating that fruit was all about. He knew that as soon as he eats of that fruit, that he will be cut off from God. He will be cut off from eternal heavenly life. So it's not so much of that act itself, eating the fruit, that is so bad, but he knew what that meant. So by eating that fruit, what Adam is doing is he's rejecting God and rejecting eternal life. He knows what that means. But look at this. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, when she was looking at the fruit, there's temptation. First is what? God said, don't eat it. But man, it looks so good for food. The lust of the flesh. And, it says, saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes. The lust of the eyes. And that the tree was desirable to make one wise. Something to boast about when you do become wise. So there's that pride, boastful pride of life. So this fruit is tempting Adam and Eve. But as they were looking at the fruit, the temptations are according to these three things that we are looking at. It's all about the lust of the flesh. Ooh, it will be satisfying to my body. And it was delight to the eyes. And it was tempting them. They knew as they eat of it, they thought that now they're going to be wise. She took from his fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. So then, all who are following in sin now live according to these three things. These are from the very beginning what sin and temptation is all about. But the gospel is telling us that you and I are saved from this. It is Jesus Christ, first of all, he bore our sins and died upon the cross and paid the penalty of our sins. And the second of all, he lived that perfect righteous life. But today I want to see together how Jesus, in terms of these three temptations, three things that we're looking at, how he triumphed over these three things and how he did it for us. Go to Matthew chapter 4. As you look at Matthew chapter 4, you know it is about temptation of Jesus Christ. So, first of all, it makes us glad that even Jesus was tempted, just like us. So, we know that he understands us when we are tempted. It's not like Jesus never was tempted so that he doesn't understand what we go through when we're tempted. He does understand because he was tempted just like us. But he was without sin. Now, chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. So he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Now his body is longing for physical food. And verse 3 says, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. So I don't need to really explain to you. This is temptation of the lust of the flesh. It's what our body desires. But he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That was the test that the Old Testament Israelites were going through when they were living in the wilderness. God wanted them to know that they don't live by the bread of this world, but that they live because of the Word of God. But they never learned. It was all about physical bread. How about you? Do you understand that you don't live by bread of this world, but that you live by the Word of God? When it comes to bread of this world, even if you die, you live. But when it comes to the Word of God, if you don't eat of it, then you will forever die. Even if you have physical bread, you will die. Do you understand? Do you live by the physical bread, or do you live by the Word of God? But so many Christians live as if they live by the physical bread. If they don't have physical bread, man, they go into panic because we're going to die. But if they don't eat spiritual bread, they don't really care. They don't even panic. They truly don't care. See, if you live like that, then you live as if you live by the bread of this world. But that's the world. Christians do not live like that. Because even if we hunger, and let's say we die of hunger, we live forever. That's why Paul says death is, to die is gain. See, world thinks dying is losing. When you die, that's the worst thing that could happen to you. But Bible says even when you die, it's gain. Because we don't live by the bread of the world. Even if we don't have bread of the world, we will live forever. So many people live their life as if they live by the bread of the world. So that when the bread of the world is not there, man, you could tell that where their focus is. But not eating of the bread from heaven, the God's word, they don't really care. I mean, it shows. They don't even read the Bible. They don't come to the Bible study. Even when they come, they don't hear. It just doesn't matter to them. Don't you think that there's something is wrong with that kind of Christian life? I don't have to teach you in terms of how we need physical food. Because if you don't get it, you will do everything in your power to go out and get it. Even if you have to steal it, you'll do it when you come to that point where, man, I'm going to die. But when it comes to spiritual food, how hard do you work to get it? Is it because you believe it's not important to you? That you don't need it? And I really wonder why so-called Christians are so carefree when it comes to spiritual food. Do you think that is okay? If you're a Christian, that you don't really have the understanding of urgency, how much you need spiritual food? Do you think it's okay? But, you know, your life clearly shows it that it really doesn't matter to you. But I need physical food. Yeah, that. I show you how much I need that. Verse 5. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." The boastful pride of life. Brag about what you could do and what you have done. You could show the whole world how even if you jump down, you're not going to be hurt. You are God. Show them. Boast it. Brag. You know, what is very interesting is that even as Satan tempts you, or tempts Jesus in this case, he actually uses God's word. He quotes from Psalm. And this Satan dare use God's word in temptation, tempting Jesus. And this is a very important point for you and me. You know, sometimes, even though you are sinning, you will justify it by using some verses. That you will actually use God's word in your sin. Well, do everything according to God's glory. So, hey, I'm doing this for God's glory. Sure you are. You could fake all you want, but God understands. God knows your true heart. They say it's for the glory of God. You know what I hate sometimes? They always say things like, I want to pray for it. Let me pray for a while. You know, sometimes it is so clear that this is what God wants you to do right now. But let me pray. And sometimes I don't know why that person has to pray to know that it is God's will. It is so clearly written in the Bible. Satan uses God's word to make Jesus sin. So you need to be very careful here. You might be justifying the sin that you do by using of God's word. You understand that Satan's attack is about the word. You know, every heretical group has the Bible. See, if they don't have the Bible, let's say one group doesn't have the Bible, then we don't really care because that's not Christianity. But every heretical group, they are heretical because they have the Bible, but they don't interpret the correct way. So just because they use Bible verses doesn't mean it's correct. Satan even uses Bible verses. Verse 8 and 9, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Satan showed Jesus Christ all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. The lust of the eyes. What Satan is offering to Jesus is this. I will give you kingdom. I know you came to accomplish kingdom, but why go through sufferings to accomplish kingdom? I will give you kingdom and you don't have to suffer. Just bow down to me and I will give you this world. Jesus says, verse 10, and then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Do you remember the second temptation? Jesus says, verse 7, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Now, here's the thing. How does God, Jesus Christ, triumphs over these temptations? Every time he says what? It is written. It is written. It is written. It's God's word. How does Jesus triumph these temptations? By the word of God. I'm trying to teach you the method, God's method of triumphing over temptations. And we go directly to Jesus Christ and see how he does it. And how does he do it? He uses the word of God. He doesn't show any other way. If it is not the word of God, you will lose. Brothers and sisters, I need you to truly realize how urgently and how seriously you need the Word of God. You cannot be lazy about this, because your whole holy life that God has given to you depends upon it. Jesus triumphs with God's word. John chapter 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. He overcame the world. He was completely and perfectly victorious over the world. He was tempted in these three things that we're looking at. But in each case, he overcame the world. And the gospel is that he did that for you. He did all that in your places. He overcame the world for you. And the recipients of this wonderful salvation, the desire of Christians, we want to imitate Christ in everything that we do. We want to be like him, understanding that we have been saved out of the world. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Go to Christ whenever you're tempted. He understands what you're going through because He Himself has been tempted just like you. And He will always help you. You listen and you obey. So how do we overcome the world? Well, go to 1 John chapter 5. Chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So how do you overcome the world? By faith. And verse 5. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You put those verses together and you have the answer. How do we overcome the world? By faith in the Word of God and by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus overcame the world by the Word. But it's not like he had to have faith in himself to overcome, so he doesn't, you know, it doesn't apply to him. But for us, it is our faith in the Word and is our faith in Jesus Christ. This is the only way that we are able to overcome the world. Romans 12 verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Brothers and sisters, I really need you to understand this. You don't belong to the world. The world will always live according to their own sinful desire and purpose. But you don't do that. You do not follow. You are not to be conformed to the world. You know, there's a beautiful verse. I guess I have to end this. Hebrews chapter 11. I'll just read this beautiful verse to you. And go home and think about this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 38. You know what Hebrews chapter 11 is, right? It's filled with all these people of the Old Testament who live by faith. So it's true Christians. And it says, verse 38, men of whom the world was not worthy. Do you understand that? Men of whom world was not worthy. Easier way to put this is this, that they were too good for this world. Do you understand? You and I, we are too good for this world. Don't live as if you are slave to this world. You are too good for this world. This world is not worthy for you. Don't follow the patterns of this world. You are too good for that. Jesus Christ, who overcame the world for us, is inviting you to his table today. believe as you come to him that his victory is your victory. But when you do believe his victory is your victory, you're not going to be lazy in witnessing that victory in your life. Believe and live the victorious life that our Lord has already accomplished for us. You come to this table seeing what Jesus has done for you, and because of what he has done for you, how you do not belong to the world anymore. Oh yeah, this temptation of the world is all around us. It's coming at us in every direction. But remember, this is the temptation of Satan. We do not follow the patterns of this world. We do everything for the glory of God. And I'm so thankful that in this group, that there are so many young people. From your young age, live according to the word. So that by the time you grow up and be leaders of church, that this church will be better church. It is not okay to sin. It is never okay to follow the patterns of this world. Let's help one another, truly help one another, to live this glorious life that God has given to us. Be mindful of these people who are lagging behind. Yeah, we have some here too. They're lagging behind. But be mindful of those people and pray for them. Because our salvation is not just individual. Me, I'm saved, I'm okay. No. We're saved together. And you cannot have confidence when you constantly sin. That is a lie. You cannot do that. You just cannot be confident of salvation when all you do is sin. And all you do is focus on this world. That just cannot happen. Bible doesn't allow it. Because if you're truly Christian, when you sin, Holy Spirit will cause you to repent. And when you truly repent, that means you will turn around. You don't just keep on sinning. Year after year, day after day, same sin over and over again. What are you proving when you live like that? That you're just proving that Holy Spirit is either not in you or that he is so ineffective, he's just powerless, it doesn't change anything. You cannot do that. You have to show to the whole world that Holy Spirit is in you and he's working and his work is effective. Because that is your faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace upon us. Oh Father, how we truly deserve your eternal punishment even now. Even if you send us to all of us to hell right now, we have nothing to say except Jesus Christ. He died for our sins and he lived that righteous life for us. But if we truly believe that, if we truly believe the gospel, then that faith will produce good fruits in our lives because that is your promise to us. Let us live that glorious life that you have given to us so that we may prove to everybody that we are truly your sons, truly citizens of heaven who do not belong to this world anymore. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.